Our relationship is marriage. Another metaphor is adoption. But these metaphors are there for a reason. But, you know, looking at marriage, you know, you look at marriage the way we see it down here on earth and what God meant it to be, what his biblical definition of marriage is, and you relate that to what we apply to our life down here. Our marriage ain't about your happiness, my happiness. It's about manifesting the relationship between Christ and the church down here so that others see that. Mm-hmm. How, you know, we got to love our wives. Our wives are submissive to us. Love our wives is the church. And it just goes back and forth. And he uses these so that we see and other people see the hope and the love that we have in this marriage is the same hope and the love that Christ has for the church. And it manifests it down here on earth. Adoption, we think about our children, you know, whether it's our blood children or an adopted child. How much do we love those children? You know, they're our greatest treasure. You know, they ain't a good, moral, decent parent in here or anywhere that wouldn't sit in a house fire and youngin' trapped inside. They wouldn't run in there and risk their life to go get that baby out. And that's all of us because of that love that's inside of us. But tonight I want to talk about that love that we have for Jesus. Do we have that same love for Jesus that we have for our earthly family, our earthly loved ones down here? One thing I thought about, you know, what sets Christianity apart from all other religions? And that's our love for Jesus. Our faith in his redemptive work that he did on the cross. And our obedience to his commandments. If you look at all the other religions floating around in the world today, they all believe that they're worshiping a God. But what sets Christianity apart? All these other religions, from Muslims to Mormons, they believe in this God, and some of them say we worship the same God. They know there was Jesus, and they probably admit that he was a good man, or he was a prophet, or whatever, and that he lived a good life. But the problem is that they deny that he was the Son of God. They deny that he fulfilled God's holy law. They reject his resurrection and reject his righteous work that he did on the cross and redeemed us. If y'all will look at John 8:42. And we'll start at 42 and read through 47. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? So there was a lack of an ability there. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me? He that is God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. These words are written in red. This is Jesus talking. And he's looking down at these Pharisees, and he's over and over and over through all the Gospels, the Pharisees and the scribes trying to trip him up, you know, prove him, disprove him, you know, before everybody, publicly and privately. But he looks at him, he said, you're not of mine. You're of your father, the devil. And you don't have to turn, but if you look over in Romans, you can write it down, something to relate to later. Romans 10:1-4, Paul's talking about how he had this love for Israel. Now, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, sent to the Gentiles. But he still had a love for his own people, and that was the people of Israel. And he said, you know, I have a love for you, and it's my wish to see you saved. But he talks about them having a zeal without knowledge. These were some of the most law-abiding, as far as righteous as far as the law was concerned, people of that day. I mean, they followed the law the best they could, but they couldn't follow it like Jesus did. But you look at the zeal and the love they had for him, but it was without knowledge. And that knowledge is from the Word and the Word of God. So when we look at a relationship, that's one thing we've got to do in our lives. Study this Word of God. We got to get to know him. So how do we love God? How do we love Jesus? And how do we do it in a righteous and in a right way? If y'all will, turn over to Matthew 22 and 37. And if you look at the verses before, lawyers asking him, he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So what's the first commandment? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And let's look at Matthew 10:37, since we're in Matthew. That's every part of man, our heart, our soul, our mind, and in one gospel it adds strength. That's every part of us has got to love God. And in verse 37 of chapter 10, Matthew, he that loveth the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Three different times this phrase is used, not worthy of me. That's a disheartening and a sickening prayer. That's about as bad as depart from me that you see in Matthew 7. Could we imagine what it would feel like to not be worthy of Jesus? To not be none of his? So the thing I want everybody to think about tonight is drawing nigh to God, you know, improving our relationship. And everything I say here tonight, know that I'm just as guilty as anyone. I'm not condemning or convicting nobody else. You know, the Lord deal with your heart. But we've all got some work to do, especially in the day and age we're living in. And just as, like I said, I'm as guilty as anything. But can we imagine not being worthy of God? A couple of examples. Okay, you look at your mother, your father, your son, your daughter. And I'm going to throw these out here, but and it might make somebody mad, but Lord knows I love you, and I wouldn't tell you anything if I didn't love you. But just like what we're living in right now. We get up on Sunday morning, wife looks over at us. We say we just stay home today. We can sit on the couch and we can drink some coffee and sit by the fire, it's nice and warm, watch church from here. We do everything we can to appease our loved ones, to gain approval and on a daily basis from them. What about, you know, you're sitting there and your dad or mom, whoever it may be, friend, brother. Hey, I'm off work Sunday. Panthers having a game. Let's go down there and watch it. Or, hey, we ain't been fishing together. Guilty. Let's take off and go fishing this Sunday. It's the only day I got off. It's the only day I can go. Who are we putting before God? What are we putting before God? And the scripture right here says, he that loveth his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. If he loves his son or his daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. I'm there. I've been in those places where I'm not worthy of me or not worthy of God. Comes Christmas time. We love our kids. They're our greatest treasure here on earth. Money's tight. Money sure is tight. About December, my check comes. What am I going to do? How am I going to buy Christmas? We got to do Santa Claus for these youngins. I got my tithe money. I put it back over here in savings. Guilty.
Bless the Lord.
Right. I've done it. And I'm not saying that y'all have, but in some sort of fashion, we've all done this right here. And we look there in verse 37. You're not worthy of me. So God help us from not moving right along. Build this relationship with Jesus. Build this relationship with God. Let's flip over to 2 Corinthians. Well, you don't have to even turn there. I'll just read it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And tonight, what we're getting down to is examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Know ye not your own selves how Jesus Christ is in you. What's inside here? If we're born again Christian, if we've been regenerated and we're converted, the Holy Spirit's in here. Our salvation and our works and these things that I'm talking about, that's just the fruit of it. That's the evidence of it. That's what that desire we see in ourselves and what other people and lost people see in us, that's the fruit of it. That don't gain us our righteousness. That's not what saves us. But that's the fruit of our salvation, is good works. And you know the story in James. Faith without works is dead. But the faith produces the works.
That's right.
So in examining ourselves, I want to look at this love and this relationship with Christ. Three or four things I've wanted to bring out. We already talked about what sets us apart from other religions. What proves our love for the one true God and the love for his son, Jesus Christ? But number two, what is the nature of this love for Jesus? And in so many places, Jesus says, keep my commandments. So keeping these commandments is not how you love Jesus, but instead is the evidence of your love for Jesus. Y'all understand that? It's showing us that proof that you love Jesus because you are doing his commandments. This ain't of ourselves. We'll get to that in a minute. Because of sin and our fallen nature, we upon ourselves and our own strength and ability and desire, we cannot fulfill this commandment. We couldn't do it apart from Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit inside of us. Let's look at John 14:15. If y'all will flip over there with me. If ye love me, you will keep my commandments. That's it. Can you command an emotion? Can I look at Emma and tell her to be mad? Can I look at Sonny and tell him to be sad? I can't do that, but God can. He bought and paid for me. He shed his blood for me.
Amen.
He put his spirit inside of me. I'm his. I'm bought and paid for.
Amen, brother.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And Preacher Bill preached on the comforter here just a while back. And he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, there's that Holy Spirit we were talking about, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. He's in here. And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Go to Romans 8, and we'll start there at verse 7. So how does the Spirit come to us? How does it get there? How do we have this indwelling Spirit that creates this love for Jesus? To know him, to want to know him, to want to build this relationship with him. Romans 8 and 7, because the carnal mind is enmity. It's hostile. It's at war against God. It is not subject to the law of God, which is the first commandment in the law, neither indeed can it be. So there it is. There's that thing about ability again. We don't have the ability. We must have the affection within our hearts. This love that is commanded, and we must have this willing submission of obedience to do the will of God. But since we lack the ability, where does it come from? And I want to read on down through verse 11. I kind of got ahead of myself here. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's another one of the phrases is just as bad as, you aren't worthy of me. Depart from me. God help us. I want to be in the fold. I want to be made worthy of him. I want to be one of his. And God help us all to strive for this. But we do, we get so, Lord knows I do. I've not sat down and studied like this probably since the last time I taught or got up here and had something on my heart. And God help me. I've probably spent 8 or 10 hours, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God, but I want you to see my lack. I've probably spent 8 or 10 hours trying to get this together because I want it right. I want it to be right in what God wants me to say. But the last 4 months, have I spent 8 or 10 hours total sitting down reading this Bible? Have I spent 8 or 10 hours praying? No, I'm not. Because all these worldly things over here, these other things that I have a passion and desire for, that's what I fill my time with. It's all of us. So it was good that God put something on my heart because it brought me back to where I needed to be. And reading all this and seeing all this, it convicted my heart. I had to sit down and pray, God, forgive me. I had repentance. Help me. Help me be stronger. Help me build on this relationship. If we love our wives and we love our kids, if we didn't spend no more time than what we spend with God in this Bible, in prayer, and with Jesus in conversation, would they want anything to do with us? But that's where our affections are. That's where our desires are, is the things of this world. So where does this Spirit come from? Where does this desire, where does this ability come from? If you look through Luke 7 and you ain't got to turn over there, you see the Pharisee inviting Jesus in to eat. And the prostitute comes in and she's weeping and she's crying tears. And she starts washing Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. And here this Pharisee starts making fun of her and calling her out. And then Jesus comes out with a parable of the debtors. And he says, who would love me more? This person that owed me $5, so to speak, or this person that owed me $5,000? Who's going to love me more? Well, the answer to that is the one that was forgiven the most. But that Pharisee, seeing himself as righteous, and this woman knew what she was on the inside. She knew what her life was. she could honestly see what God had forgiven in her. Today, do we see what God has forgiven in us?
Go ahead,
in our life? I want people to think about that. Lord knows what God brought me out of. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have a job. I shouldn't have a roof over my head. I should be dead in the pits of hell. That's what I deserve. But God saw fit to do something different. And I'm going to praise him for it. And I beg him, please don't let me forget where you brought me from, what you forgave me of. Because Lord knows it was a bad path. It was a bad life. And I was on the road to hell. Talking about this love, and this is just another thing I wrote down, another scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:22. Paul says, he who does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Accursed. That's what I deserve. Because before this indwelling spirit, this Holy Spirit that the Lord put in me, this different heart, this different desire and the ability, I couldn't love God. I didn't seek God. I sought things for myself. Christianity and what Jesus demands of us is not all deeply and fundamentally a decision of the will, but is, and that's absolutely necessary. Don't get me wrong. We have to choose God. But something has to happen first, and that is the work of God through the Holy Spirit. And that's the new birth. You look at Nicodemus questioned Jesus in John 3, and he's talking about this new birth. He said, well, how am I born again? He said, the wind bloweth and listeth where it will. You know not where it comes from. This is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that God does through the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So in all these scriptures right here, we see God done a work. How appreciative, how thankful are we? Do we look at him every day? Praise his holy name. Build on this love and this relationship that he's put inside of us, that we now desire. What is the work that God has done? And Preacher Bill preached this a while back out of Ezekiel 36. The work is that new birth through the Holy Spirit. Take out of you a heart of stone, put in you a heart of flesh. But if you go back, and Preacher Bill talked about this one day, I do this for my name's sake. Not for your sake, but for my name's sake. Can we grasp that? Why was it for his name's sake and not our sake? Because he said, we're nothing but blasphemy. If I do it for your sake, it's nothing but blasphemy. Because you ain't doing nothing but blaspheming my name. He said, I'm doing it for my name's sake. Galatians 4:4-8, if y'all will turn there. And this will be the last one. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And there's the adoption we were talking about. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir, than an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak, beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Is that where we go with our wife after the honeymoon's over? We get slack. We ain't worried about that relationship. We're not worried about approving ourselves to them again, or a husband or spouse. Preacher Bill said it many times. Come up here and make this profession of faith. God save my soul. First 6 months, I want to get out there and tell the world everything that God has done for me. If we ain't feeding that desire leaves. We don't feed off of that desire, off this word, off prayer. Well, I got some vacation time coming up. I'm going to do a hunting trip this weekend, or a fishing trip this weekend, or go over here to a ball tournament this weekend. And it gets to be easier and easier and easier. And God knows I'm guilty. That's pretty much everything I had notes on. But like I said, everything, out of everything I said, and I hope it bless your heart. I hope God will open our mind to it. We look at these scriptures and especially writings of Paul and his epistles, and we see two different sides of it. Especially in Paul's epistles, in first few chapters is doctrine, and then these next few chapters is application. This don't mean nothing if we don't apply it.
Amen.
Our relationship with God. Our relationship with Christ, we have to apply this. We want to get to know Him. We want to know Him better. We want to talk with Him. We want to pray with Him. We want to love Him. Can we imagine what His love was for us? Because He loved us first. He loved us first. So let's give Him due and love Him just like He loved us. Or at least try. Might not can fulfill that much love, but we can try. And build on this relationship.
Amen.
That's all I've got, bro.
That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into this kingdom and glory. Lord,
Amen.
I just read that and say.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Anybody got anything they need to add to it? Thank you.